What was your question?
I asked if you binged all the episodes of Full Swing.
I did.
I know you did. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you can just watch the first two.
I did it.
I did it.
Jake but you did. Wanted to watch the third.
So on
you weren't into it or what?
It was at 1 a.m. last night, so no.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I watched episode one last night before bed, and I watched episode two. I got up early to watch it.
I mean, I was also traveling. So what was it? Last Friday, I had a plane from Fargo to Chicago, and then yesterday I had a plane from Chicago to Fargo. So there's four episodes for sure right there.
So did you take notes so you don't spoil anything for the rest of the episodes for us?
Well, mm-hmm. one and two is the Liv PGA merger.
Yeah. Episode one is
I just want to make sure that I'm talking about the correct episodes because
yeah. episode one is the Rory episode pre-merger, and episode two is
Ricky
and JT or DJ.
Yes.
Yeah, it's post-merger. Like Ryan does not want to spoil anything.
No.
Even though that all this stuff like
it all happened.
It all happened and we all know what happens. Like Ryan can't be like, oh yeah, by the way, like Tiger died. You know?
What?
Tiger's the Ned Stark of Full Swing.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Game of Thrones season one. Sorry.
Paulina also in this season.
Yeah.
She wasn't in last season.
It was basically Paulina's episode. She had just as many lines as DJ.
Yeah.
Also, welcome back to the Double Bogey Show. We are presented by Nicolay Wall.
They pipe that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
You ever drive down the road and just see a big, bald, bearded guy up on the billboard?
Yeah, once or twice.
I mean, I feel like if you've driven down the road, the answer is yes.
Any road.
And I think a majority of people have driven down the road.
I don't know why I said big, bald, billboard guy, because Russell's not a big guy.
Well, he's big on the billboard,
though. He's big on the billboard. Yeah. That is Russell Nicolay from Nicolay Law, our presenting sponsor. And Ryan, if you've ever hurt, you know what you should do? If you're injured, comma, get Nicolay.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it get Nicolay or call Nicolay?
No, it's get Nicolay.
Okay, hell yeah.
Sorry, Tyler, I hate to correct you, but it's injured question mark?
Fuck.
Nicolay.
I'm all over the place.
So I'm not trying to get injured, but I'm trying to get Nicolayed.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Ryan, I think you have to be injured beforehand.
Okay, so, damn it. Well, I have had IT ban issues for the last 5-10 years.
You can call him. I mean, you can call him in any injury scenario. He'll let you know if they can help you out.
It happened on a city sidewalk, too. So maybe the sidewalk, don't step on the crack.
You know who would know?
Who was that?
Nicolay.
Boom.
If you ever get hurt in any scenario, call them. And if they can't help you, they'll just tell you. But if they can help you, they will. But also, we're going to have Russell call in a handful of times on the podcast, and I've got some questions for
him. I do, too.
I
get struck in the head by a golf ball?
Yeah, who's liable?
Is there proof that they didn't? Do you need proof that they didn't say four?
Yeah, is a four call like actually legal standing?
Like, great question.
Could you save your ass by saying yelling four? Also,
we'll find out. I mean, yeah, golf courses are going to be buzzing with four calls if that's the case.
Yeah, we also need to know the legal implications. Am I truly liable if I hit a house on a golf course they chose to fucking live there?
True.
I got to know. So we'll be answering those questions over the next few months. We'll have Russell call in and give us some actual legal advice for what to do on the golf course. So
yeah, we can sit here and speculate all we want, but we need real answers from a real professional.
So go to nicolaylaw.com if you're hurt.
Yeah, baby.
Yep.
Traveling or not, there was no way I could just watch the first two.
There what? You could self-control. I wanted to watch the third episode this morning, but I was like, you know what?
Well, you had to come to work.
My guys. No, I had plenty of time.
So, and my plan was if I had more time on the plane, I was going to rewatch this. Okay. So I'm not sure if we've discussed this, but I do not rewatch shows.
Yeah. Didn't you just rewatch one though?
No.
Oh, I thought you were actively rewatching a show.
No, God, no. I would never rewatch a show because I already know what happens. Then there's no like, I don't know. I need something that's going to captivate my attention away from my phone. Full Swing does exactly that.
Right. One of the best things in the world is when you watch not like a Full Swing, but like a Game of Thrones, a super deep, well-written show on a rewatch. noticing all the hints. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best things about television is watching it a second time, knowing what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then you notice all these little things. You're like, holy fuck, it was right in front of my face the whole time.
No, I'm with you on that. My brain doesn't operate like that, though. I don't comprehend the small details like you do.
Is your phone out?
For sure.
That's there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, my attention span is just dog shit these days. Jeez. But I was going to rewatch episodes 1 and 2 mm-hmm. because it was like fucking 4 days ago since I've watched them. It's been lifetime. A long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to actually just going to rewatch season 1 and then come back and rewatch season 2 when everything's said and done.
Well, you only need to watch 3 and 4 for next week.
I've already done that. So I'll get a second time through so we can, you know, I'll pick up on the small details. But what did you guys think about episodes 1 and 2? Was it a good, like, kind of a precursor to the whole PG and Liv merger? No one really knew what was going on in the play. I mean, you kind of did, but you didn't really know what was going on in the players' heads when that was happening.
Yeah,
until you watch these episodes.
One of the most intriguing things to me, and you would know since you've watched the entire season, but it looks like Netflix got access to Jay Monahan.
They did.
Which blows my mind that he let them in. Because like there's that private meeting and they're in the room. They don't show much of it, but I thought it was more like a teaser for what's to come.
They're not in the room, actually.
Okay.
So
there's Wesley Bryan's live stream.
Yep. The Wesley Bryan's like, all right, boys, live stream's going to end when Monahan walks
in. No. Not that meeting. There's like a boardroom meeting where it's just Jay Monahan.
Yep.
There's for sure camera people in that room.
Uh-huh. Jay Monahan and who?
There's like three other like people on one side and they're talking about.
Yeah. And it's like in a boardroom like ours.
Yeah.
They give the audio?
Yeah, they're in there with the camera. Jay's talking to the camera. And I was like, holy shit, Jay Monahan let Netflix into this meeting.
Okay, yeah. And I wonder, like, do you...
Jay Monahan is the commissioner of the PGA.
Do you know what meeting that was?
I don't. That's why I was hoping you would tell me if they actually got access to Jay.
Yeah, well, they got like that type of access to Jay.
So they don't show that? They don't expand on it?
Not really.
That's fucked.
No.
That's one of the things I was most excited about.
Well, there are a couple like little cliffhangers like that where you want more context to the situation, but you don't really get it. And that also happened. I mean, this will be like 3 or 4 episodes from now when we discuss 7 and 8.
Okay.
Or 3 episodes, spoiler, whatever. But there are parts that definitely leave you hanging in terms of like God, I need more context behind this situation.
Yeah, I think overall, they did a really good job of explaining all that stuff. I didn't really learn anything I didn't already know.
Correct.
Yep.
I knew Rory was pissed. I knew Rory was stressed from being the spokesperson of the PGA. Like, there's nothing the only thing that was kind of more eye-opening, and I didn't think it was even possible, but the show somehow made Ricky Fowler even more likable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't realize how down in the dumps he was. Like, I knew he wasn't top 50 anymore, but like 185, like really struggling to make cuts ever.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I just kind of thought he wasn't golfing, to be honest. I didn't know he was still golfing and just playing shitty.
Yeah. You didn't really hear of him because he was over number 100 in the world.
Yeah.
And obviously like the conversation that he's having with his wife about, like, she really likes to just express her feelings and what's going on with her. And if someone will just listen, she'll talk their ear off for an hour, where he kind of just, he stays within his own bubble and more so just like eats that deep down inside, which is a very
relatable,
especially in the golf world. I mean, think about us as amateur, not even amateur, like fucking subpar golfers. I know Tyler, you're an anomaly, but getting into our own head about like a certain swing or a certain round or whatever. Like, imagine, I mean, you see the houses these guys are living in.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they have sponsors, but still, like, hey, if Joel Damon doesn't keep playing golf or he keeps playing like the way he is, he ain't gonna be able to afford his house.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Yeah,
no, I know, but that's just like even so, like Joel Damon is number 70, 80, 90 in the world.
I'm not sure.
Got to make cuts to make money. So
correct. Yep. And it did really bring it brought more light to the Ricky situation.
Mm-hmm.
During the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club?
Yep.
Yep.
Or was it the PGA Championship?
What situation?
When Ricky lost to Wyndham Clark.
That's the Open.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as much
PGA was the one Brooks finally won.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. As much as everybody wanted Ricky to win the US Open, we all did. Mm-hmm. But hearing the story of Wyndham Clark and all the shit that he went through and...
Not there yet.
He's in the Ricky episode, is he not?
He's a little barely. Bit, but not really.
Okay.
See, Ryan?
Okay. Well, I didn't even tell you. I didn't even expand. Yeah. I didn't. There's no teasers there.
Yeah. Okay.
But you also like after you watch episode 3, you'll understand why
after you just finished the whole season.
Go and watch it, dude. You got to finish the whole thing.
No, we said to watch 2 episodes. We all agreed to it.
I watched 2 episodes and then I watched 6 more.
And now you're trying to spoil everything.
Okay. You guys take it over.
Okay. I have one question for everybody that I think it's been on my mind. Who is the most likable golfer in golf? Because you can make a very strong case for Ricky. I don't know anyone that's divisive on Ricky. Maybe when he was a kid and he was wearing those outrageous outfits, I'm sure the golf hardos were split on Ricky Fowler. But right now, who name somebody that has less haters? Than probably Ricky Fowler does.
Like a Patrick Reed.
He's got way more haters.
I love Patrick. I think, well, that question's tough because you obviously, when you get to see inside the life of these golfers on Full Swing, it makes you appreciate them more. And I feel like there are a lot of golfers out there that they're not able to express like themselves or their story because they're not on Full Swing season.
Yep.
But like somebody that's not a no-namer, that's like we've never heard of before, that's ranked 112 in the world. Like out of all the names that we know, who's more likable than Ricky Fowler? Like even Tiger has a shitload of people who hate him.
For sure. Because he's like, in the GOAT conversation.
Yeah. Right. And then he had all the drama with the mistresses and the car accidents and whatnot. He's always going to have a pretty staunch group of haters where the majority of people love Tiger Woods.
Sure.
Right. John Daly, the same thing, right? A lot of people really love John Daly, but he's very, what's the right word? Divisive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of either love him or like you hate the way he plays. Yep. You hate the way that he doesn't like, he doesn't work hard. He's drinking on the course. He's an addictive gambler, drink, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then a lot of people really love John Daly. I can't think of anyone, golf snobs, golf hardos, the casuals like us, the party bros, everybody loves Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, he kind of like suits in every little like aspect of every group.
Right.
Yeah. And I would say if you don't love Ricky Fowler, you probably just don't know enough about him. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you're still like, maybe you're just getting into golf now and didn't watch golf when Ricky was in his prime or anything like that. You
right.
know what I mean?
Which I was aware of Ricky Fowler in his prime. I didn't watch golf then, but I still knew who Ricky Fowler was.
I think you answered your own question. I
was just curious if anyone had any other names that could even be thrown in the same way.
Does Joel Damon count? Because he might only be known. Well,
Joel Damon for sure is only known. he's for sure only known because of Full Swing.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a lot of people that also question Joel Damon's work ethic though too.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's like, well, you know, I don't like Joel Damon because he's like if he just worked a little bit harder, he could be really fucking good, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
And there's no. Think of a time when somebody hated Ricky Fowler or like questioned something that he was doing.
Right. Like
you can't.
The only time I can think of is in his early career when he was wearing silly outfits and doing rap videos, and that was just the golf snobs kind of like shaking their heads a little bit.
Yeah, it was not.
But it wasn't like he didn't do anything outrageous.
For sure. Another guy that comes to the top of mind is Victor Hovland.
Yes.
Younger guy, but again, like not as iconic. He obviously hasn't been in the game as long as Ricky, but.
But I don't think, I think you're onto something with Hovland though, because I can't think of a group that doesn't like him.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Until it's like Ryder Cup time, right? And you have your USA fans who are like, you know, fuck the European team. Like,
but that's the second the Ryder Cup's open or over, I'm back to liking Victor Hovland.
Correct.
So I would throw him into it. I think that's
a
valid
big Victor
point.
Fan. Yeah,
I am. He's my favorite golfer.
I think we all are.
Yeah, just like you can't not like the guy.
Yeah.
But and the thing about Victor is that I don't think he'll ever have like an iconic moment or an iconic like look like Ricky Fowler has.
Besides being cheeched out of his fucking mind in practice
rounds.
That's
great. Yeah. And I think I act like people love that.
Yeah.
Now, the other question is like, is he like, do we know that he's smoking?
No, we don't know that.
Because we looked up. Stoned. Well, first off, what do you guys think about golf or steroids in golf?
I don't think they do anything because steroids just make you big and strong.
Yeah. So during that episode, when we looked up like the banned substances on the PGA, I think they do test for marijuana. Now, the MLB also did, and Tim Lincecum was ripping oneies in the parking lot before he pitched. Jesus.
In the bullpen.
I think Victor Hovland is up there, but I don't think... Based off of what I've seen, I don't think anyone can overtake the Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, nobody hates Victor Hovland, but he's not as loved as Ricky is. Yeah.
Correct. Now, here's a question. Do you think more people know and recognize the Ricky Fowler orange or the Tiger Woods red?
Tiger.
Yeah, it's a Tiger red.
Yeah.
But like arguably the Ricky Fowler orange is so iconic.
I would say what's more iconic is Ricky Fowler wearing the Puma hat with the big P on the front. Like, I think that is more iconic. Like, and it can be orange too, whatever. But like, when I think of Ricky Fowler, I think of him with the big Puma.
Yeah, and that's just a nod to him wearing the orange back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he, like, I mean, he only wore the orange for a couple of years before he, like,
those couple of years, he was on top of the fucking world.
And the whole thing was orange. Like, you can't not see it. Like, a red polo, like, yeah, it's just a red polo. Like, you think whatever. But it's obviously he wears it on his Sundays. But a whole orange outfit, you have to see that.
For sure.
Yeah, and if Ricky was as good as Tiger, then I would say that it's as iconic, but he's not.
Correct.
The red will forever be. It's the second most iconic thing in all of sports behind the Jordan logo.
Debatable. I mean,
to this shit. We did the whole Jordan debate. My fucking 2-year-old son's birthday was on Sunday. He got a pair of Jordans.
Hell yeah.
Unreal. Why does he need Jordans?
He doesn't. He doesn't. I mean, he's going to look fucking good in them.
He looks ridiculous.
Really?
He's got a fucking Simba t-shirt on and then Jordans? I don't know. I'll ask my sister. She knows what she got him.
Yeah, you
got
to get that kid a pair.
Paige?
Yeah.
Of course. Jesus. Yeah, that is not a question. Yeah. Is there any way that I could, when he grows out of them, that I could maybe borrow them?
You could have them when he grows out of them. Well, yeah.
You can buy them off them.
Unless you have more kids, you probably want to give them to.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, you guys. The Ricky Fowler orange.
I just think
as much as I want to make an argument for it, I don't think I can because I also think I know the answer. It's probably Tiger red.
Well,
I
mean, Tiger's been doing the red thing for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. Ricky Fowler did the all orange for
2 years,
4 years,
yeah. And to answer my own question. Like guys like us are not going to the golf course wearing orange hats, orange polos. They are going to the golf course wearing red polos and TW hats and Nike hat, whatever.
Yep.
It's like, that's like the Jordan to Tiger conversation. Whereas now in this situation, Tiger is the Jordan, the Tiger red's the Jordan and the Ricky Fowler is Tiger Woods.
No, it's interesting to talk about, but I mean, Ricky's got absolutely zero fucking shot against the Sunday Reds.
But think about it, those are the two most iconic colors in golf, are they not?
Maybe the Masters green jacket, like that.
Yeah,
just in terms, like,
that's a specific person.
Yeah, just in terms of like player attire, like. On top of,
I mean, Scottie Scheffler is making a push for those disgusting yellow Nike shirts he wears on Sundays.
Yeah. Or does John Daly's Argyle pants count?
Yeah.
That counts, but he's not relevant now.
You're right. Well, yeah, he is in my heart.
He is relevant, but he's not like he's playing.
Yeah. And he has also switched out the Argyle pants for just other patterns that are
ridiculous.
Loud.
Yeah. One thing that I get, it makes complete total sense, but for some reason, while it was happening, I wasn't paying any attention to Brooks having more majors than Rory.
He now does.
That storyline never once crossed my mind while it was happening. And I knew Brooks had four. I knew Rory had four, but I never once realized, like, holy shit, Brooks now has more than Rory McIlroy. And when you think of those two names, you don't think of Brooks being the legend that Rory is.
Yeah.
Right? He went on a fucking run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how old is Brooks Koepka? 32?
I'll pull it up here.
Yeah, he's not much younger than Rory.
I think he's younger than that.
He's 33.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
He's older than us.
Jesus.
Well, and to even like, you look at a guy like Brooks Koepka, right? And like, especially for me, I go, he's only 3 years older than I am.
Yeah.
And to me, mm-hmm. he looks like he's 10 years older mm-hmm. than I am.
That's because we're fucking old, dude.
I mean, to me, that's hard to wrap my head around. It's also like crazy to look at like college basketball players and be like, mm-hmm. those guys are, some of them are 12 years younger than I am.
18, 19 year olds that are.
It's just that the age, like in high level college or professional sports, it seems like people are much older than they actually are. Mm-hmm. JT and Spieth, they may have just turned 30, I think. I want to say like last time I looked, they're probably 28. And I think I had noticed they're the same age as me. So they're probably both 30.
Yeah, 30.
That's also insane.
It feels like they're like 35 or like.
Correct.
It's like
they've been in the game for so mm-hmm. long. I mean, fuck, I can't talk about that either because it's going to spoil it.
But there's a lot of like now, especially in golf, there's like 24 or 25 year olds that are like leading the charge. 26 year olds like Scheffler, Hovland, Scheffler, like all of them are so young where it's like.
How old's Scotty?
He's like 26.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
All these guys are going to be in the league for so long.
Yeah. Scotty Scheffler is like a few months older than Victor Hovland.
Yeah, they're all just so young now. They're all dominating.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. Trevor, how old are you? 23?
You're going to be 24, yeah.
I thought Scotty was like the same age as me.
No, he's...
He looks old as shit.
He does.
He's growing that beard out right now, yeah. So that's why.
But it's like professional athletes just... They look more, they look older and more mature than mm-hmm. they actually are.
Yeah. Also, there's been like, I don't know, there's been studies that come that have are coming out or in the process right now about why people my age and Trevor's age are aging a lot faster than others. Like, it's like a scientific thing that like our generation are aging really fast.
What happened to you two then?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
It's like Trevor could pass for 19.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% could.
Have you ever not been carded when like ordering a beer or something?
Like twice.
Yeah,
so you get carded buddies. Every time.
I get carded 90% of the time.
Yeah, and for me, it's probably like, I don't know, 50, 60% mm-hmm. of the time.
It's becoming more and more rare.
I also have a lot more gray hairs now.
Yeah, so like, I never get carded for anything. I don't know why, but I never do.
He just doesn't go out, that's why.
That's also probably true.
Yeah, I don't think they don't card you before you fire up your PC to say, like a Destiny or whatever.
But no, it is true that, like, I don't know, people, me and Trevor's age are like, people don't know why, but we're aging faster.
Like every athlete looks old, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so strange. Like Michael Penix, he's in college. He looks 34.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like gone are the, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well,
some of those college athletes now are 25, 26.
Still though, Michael Penix Jr. looks 35 years old.
He does.
He does. Yeah. Like look
Bo
at.
Penix too.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at Joe Burrow when he came to the league. You know, baby face.
Baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolute baby.
The NFL has aged him immensely.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like in a good way, too. I mean, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
And Rory looks old. That's another takeaway from the first two episodes. His age is showing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad. Because, we grew up with Rory. Like, Rory was, like, he took over for Tiger. Right when we were coming into like we care about golf.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of that, all that stress he got put on this year. Yeah. Like it, you kind of wonder why he didn't win any like majors last year, but you kind of understand now where it's like doing all the press, all the meetings with the PGA mm-hmm. and then just to practice, play his sponsorship deals. Like he literally probably had a busiest schedule of anyone.
Well, another thing that surprised me is they never asked him to do that.
No.
I thought that this was like a formal, like Rory, you're our guy.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to spearhead this. They never asked him that.
No.
He just did it.
And it just kind of happened.
He just loves the PGA Tour that much. And then
I also thought it was wild for him to just drop out and say, I hate the LIV. I hate him.
I hate layoff. Like,
holy fuck.
Yeah, I hate layoff.
I hate him.
I hate layoff.
Fucking bloody bastards. I hate to live.
No, I do think it's definitely what played a factor in his, I mean, for him, for Rory, very subpar last year. Mm-hmm. And like, it got me thinking a little bit. And I mean, it's not really true, But it was a theory for about 5 minutes until I started looking stats up. I thought there was a little bit of a Netflix full swing curse of guys on previous on the previous season one. Then the following year, like having a dog shit year. If you
not Brooks,
Brooks never. And again, I'd prove that wrong right away. Brooks never did. You know, Matt Fitzpatrick obviously won a major in season one, didn't in season two, but that's also
he still played good.
Yeah, still played good. But yeah, you look at a guy like Rory, and then Joel Damon.
They both had bad years.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
But like
for
Rory,
that.
Still like got third.
Still did well. He just didn't win anything.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
But I wonder, do they select them before the season, or does it, they just kind of like shoot everything and then kind of like,
because they got to figure out who they're going to follow.
Well, and this isn't a spoiler because you can see in the titles, but the last two episodes are the Ryder Cup, which was in November.
Sounds right.
October, November.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know we had discussed like, will Waste Management 2024 be on this year's full swing? They cut it long before.
They'll be on
that.
Next year.
One thing I think is interesting is that for this season of full swing, I feel like we very clearly knew what the storylines were going to be about this season, right? It was going to be about the merger. It was going to be about the Ryder Cup. Like we all picked that apart as it went. But I feel like right now we can already see the storylines developing of what season three would be about. Not that it's been renewed or anything like that, but I'm assuming it will.
It will. It launched Netflix's sports document. That and the Formula One.
Yeah. They're like sports docu-series type thing. And maybe The Last Dance, but that doesn't really. It's a little different.
Yep.
But like we can already see what the storylines for next season are going to be. Like you said, it's going to be like the Waste Management and like right now the big headlines are talking about live viewership, right? Like live viewership is not doing good. It's not doing good at all.
Well, this merger has done nothing.
Well, it's not. It's not even official yet.
Yeah, I mean,
it's still like the contract hasn't been signed.
Yeah.
So
it's like I just don't. What's going to happen? They're not letting live players into the U.S. World Golf Rankings or the world. What is it?
The official golf world rankings, OGWR.
Yep. They're not letting them into that. Nothing has happened as far as them competing with each other other than majors. Mm-hmm. So like this merger, I'm watching all this drama unfold in full swing, thinking like none of it fucking happened.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not a quick and easy thing to get over the hump, but it's like they're sitting and arguing over shit that's, it's not going to happen. You're like, they obviously don't know it in the moment when they're recording the interview.
Right.
But nothing has changed.
Yeah. Nothing's came to fruition. And this is almost we're almost a year out from on the nose from the Liv merger happening. And nothing.
Well, it happens after it's after the Masters before the PGA.
Yeah.
Is when the merger was announced.
Oh, yeah. So we're like a month off.
Yeah.
Like a month and a half off.
Okay.
But yeah. So like, kind of none of that stuff has come to fruition yet. Either it will and it hasn't happened yet, or we're already past the window and I don't know, something is going to happen down the pipeline. But like very clearly what the PGA and LIV merger was promised to be is like not here yet.
Yeah.
Or at least the product is not it yet. Like this weekend, LIV had their highest viewed weekend of all time. They drew in 400,000 people over like a 3-day span. And CBS rebroadcasted around at Pebble Beach and it drew in 3 times that. So it's like,
Jesus Christ.
Like, and that was a rebroadcast. Yeah. Like, so it's very interesting. When I read stuff like that, it makes me wonder like that's what season three is gonna be about.
Yeah, they need something. Like both parties need something. The PGA can't claim it's the best tour in the world when John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Bryson and all those guys are over at LIV, and LIV can't continue to operate if they don't have anyone watching their programs. So they had to come to some sort of agreement because the PGA needs the top talent. LIV needs broadcasting viewers.
Can they though, if it's just fucking money laundering?
So that was another good quote from, I can't remember who it was. It might've been Dustin.
I mean, can you imagine where speculation too, by the way.
Mm. Well, Dustin was like, can you imagine what the LIV would be if it was backed by Apple or Amazon and didn't have the drama?
For sure.
Same amount of money, right? Well, I mean, sure, the Saudis have probably more money, but it's still a shitload of money behind it. And then you don't have any of the controversy.
it would have been fine.
Yeah.
It would have been okay.
And it had been a very interesting landscape if that was the case. But one other thing that I wanted to bring up, you guys remember season one on Mito Pereira's episode?
Yep.
Yep.
It shows him collapse on the final two holes of the PGA Championship for JT to win. JT in the players' dinner.
Yep.
He's like, all right, everybody, I would like to thank Mito Pereira for this.
Yeah. For allowing me to be here. Yeah, for allowing me to like be that. Here.
Nice little jab.
Yeah, and then Mito just defects to Liv. He's like, ah, fuck this. I'm never going to win on the PGA Tour.
It was hilarious because JT doesn't think that anyone's ever going to hear that jab to Mito. Mm-hmm. And then Netflix just blasts it out there for him. Just shitting on this guy.
Do you guys think they're like, when the players sign off on access for Netflix to film pretty much anything, like, do they have the ability to be like, hey, I don't want this in there?
Sometimes you can negotiate that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like Kirk Cousins in the quarterback series negotiated like producing rights and whatnot.
Okay.
So he was able to thumbs up or thumbs down what got in and what didn't.
Gotcha.
I would say for the amount of players and stuff like that that are a part of Full Swing and just the overarching, like it's more of a PGA thing than following around individuals for the most part, right? Like they do an individual per episode. I would say that most of the golfers probably don't have producer rights on any of this stuff.
Yeah. And specifically not to people that don't get a dedicated episode, which I don't believe JT does within this season. Correct.
Yep.
So I would assume his contract is probably a lot smaller and different than, say, Rory. I bet you Rory maybe has some say on what gets in and what doesn't.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like last season's Brooks episode, that was probably, for sure got a say in it. Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
Because that was all about him, all in his house.
I mean, like 90% of the time, the studio does have the ultimate call, but the athletes or the subjects of the documentary will get a say in some of the stuff.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I know I'm getting my head ahead of myself a little bit, but I do think season three is already shaping up really well in terms of like, I guess I don't know if like the shit that went down at Waste Management is like,
it's probably not that.
It's not. It's not really player related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more like just PGA related in general. So it could have a part, but obviously Rom going to Liv, and then you have all the conversation behind like, is someone like John Rahm and other Europeans on Liv going to be able to play in the Ryder Cup in 2025? We're just getting started.
We would be absolutely remiss if we did not bring up the atrocity that is Jake Paul's swing.
That was insane how he went and filmed with Better and they got that stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great for Better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, great for them. His swing was...
Oh my god.
So now, like, okay,
Brooks, like, I've never seen anybody do that. That's kind of sick.
Jake, you haven't seen the episode because Jake's the only one that didn't watch one and two. Brooks Koepka goes to Jake on Jake Paul's podcast and then they play in the simulator after and he jaked it. It was all tee. Driver.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's teeing up with his driver and Jake Paul only hit the tee.
Like quite literally, like the ball, I don't even think got off the swing.
It just dropped down.
Yeah. But then you look at like, I mean, you think of Jake Paul as a good or bad boxer, think whatever you want. But when you think of just an athlete in general, like if you can play golf, you can shoot a basketball, you can throw a football, you can like throw, you know, shit like that.
Most really good athletes are also pretty decent golfers.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't seem that like Jake Paul is a very good athlete.
That the most good athletes' issue with golf is not hitting the ball. It is controlling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of them can still hit it really far, but it's either a wicked slice or a wicked hook. But Jake Paul can't even hit the fucking ball.
Well, I don't know. Like I've seen a lot of videos also online of people talking about Jake Paul and his like lifting form and his routine and like the workouts and stuff that he does. And he could be doing it clearly to start this conversation about himself. But like he does fucking really like wacky lifts, like the most CrossFit looking shit. Like I don't know, there's videos of him out there like taking a kettlebell and like holding it underneath his legs and then just like hip thrusting it into the air.
That's a bit,
I guess I haven't seen the video, but that is I mean that's a legitimate exercise.
He's like banging his wrists on his hip.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like that's more of like a cross, like a CrossFit.
Yeah, yeah. But, swing, but yeah, I mean, he will always try and draw some skin.
I don't want to
yeah.
get too far yeah, into the Jake Paul yeah, weeds, whatever. But yeah, yeah. I couldn't bring up his swing. But all in all, I'm very excited for the season. Ryan, you say it's probably good. It's good.
Spoiler.
All I'm gonna say is I don't know how you can't binge season two.
Self-control.
I already lived it, technically.
True.
I'm just gonna see the behind. Like
season one
now.
Was everyone's jacked for season one, and season one was very good, but I think season two is better than season one.
Well, yeah, because season one was just like introducing it mm-hmm. and correct. Just talking about the cut the whole time, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I just don't want the whole season to be live PGA.
Yeah, that's true, Trevor. The whole cut, first season
the cut,
was
the cut,
and you gotta make the cut to make
cut,
money.
You don't
make
the cut.
You gotta make the cut.
I haven't heard it once. Like twice this time. That's it. I was like, thank God.
Yeah, it's because Rory didn't make the cut at Masters.
But it wasn't about like not making money. Yeah, it was. It was just like, it was just missing the cut. Jeez. Yeah. Season two is phenomenal.
Is the whole fucking thing about the live PGA?
No, I mean, there's obviously like there's conversation back and forth. And I mean, there's probably one conversation in every episode about LIV, mm-hmm. But it's not overbearing. So you guys have gotten you've gotten past the bulk of the LIV PGA talk. And now obviously you have like the revisit back to Joel. Like it's almost like, how's Joel Damon doing now? Mm-hmm. And
where are they now?
Yeah, like the Matt Fitzpatrick, like his episode is also with his brother, Alex Fitzpatrick, who's I think he was like number 700 player in the world.
Probably.
That's also crazy. Like, I mean, you put there's millions of golfers out there, and to be in the top 1000 is fucking insane. So yeah, the last two episodes are phenomenal. Because you guys remember the whole Joe LaCava and Rory McIlroy yep. confrontation in the parking lot. So yeah, you guys are in for it. I'm excited for you to watch episode 3 and 4. I'm just gonna go watch them back again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I did enjoy it that much, and yeah, you guys will enjoy it.
Yeah, and you might notice the little details this time, Ryan.
Yeah. The teasers.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I already thought Wyndham Clark was in episode 2. He's not. So I forgot.
Yeah, they teased him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't even realize it.
So no spoilers there. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. Be right back.
Be right.
You ever smash your putter into the green?
No, but I saw a guy do it, and it sent chills up my spine and rage in my gut.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a guy who I don't think he had ever golfed before.
He'd never golfed before. We were thinking about hiring him. And so we brought him to the golf course, Miles, Ryan, and myself. And we went to Miles's country club.
Oh.
And we were on hole 9. And at this point, the last two holes, the guy had given up on using irons and drivers and just putted every hole.
Huh.
So we were legitimately, he was putting par fours.
It was a tough scene.
It was
and
tough.
It got even tougher.
And then we get to the 9th green, which is a par 3. And he missed a putt. I think it was the pin, not his putter.
It was the pin.
He just started smashing it into the green. And all of us were like, fucking stop. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't do that. And it was innocent because he didn't know he couldn't do that. But at the same time, it should be a little bit common sense not to destroy this perfectly manicured grass. And that is a big, big golf no-no, yeah. is purposely destroying something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you're taking a chunk out of a fairway, understandable.
Mm-hmm.
That
replace
happens.
It with seed and sand, yes. or replace your divot. I think a majority of courses don't want you to replace the divot. Am I correct on that?
No, because so it depends on the grass.
Okay.
So like when we were playing, I think it was Craigens, the marshal told Grandpa and I not to replace the divots because the grass doesn't take. It's a different type
sure.
of grass.
Mm-hmm.
So to just seed it and then let her be. But there are courses where a divot will take. So you're supposed to replace it. I think you just got to ask. I don't know shit about grass. Your dad is a landscaper. Maybe he knows.
He might. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds about right. Because I've been to golf courses before where they don't give you any sand and seed.
Yeah.
And it could be because it's a cheap course. But yeah. I mean, yeah. Like they don't give you any sand and seed. And I think in that case, replace your divot regardless, you know?
Yeah. There are times where like, because I am a big proponent on like, if you take a beaver tail or take whatever, like put, just you know, go grab it, put it back. I've like tried to puzzle piece together certain divots. And when you can actually find the pieces of the puzzle and make it look nice again, fuck, is that a good feeling?
Yeah. It was like, what question is, in all the courses you're not supposed to replace the divots with, what do they do with them? They just mow them over and becomes mulch or what?
Probably.
Think so.
Do they go out there? Yeah. Is there a divot boy that goes and like picks up all the beef tails?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I've never noticed that. Like I've never played a golf course and I'm like, man, this fairway's torn up and there's dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
Or and there's grass all over the place. Like
maybe towards the end of the day there's divots lying around, but next morning they're gone.
Plus, I can't imagine taking your mower blades and sticking them through little clumps of rock is good for your mower blades.
It dulls them pretty quick.
Mower blade, no problem. It'll cut right through that.
It will, but dirt is the number one enemy to a mower blade's sharpness.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't imagine that they're just taking the mower over the top of all these divots that are out there, you know?
It's a good question.
We got to get to the bottom of that. We got to call Greenskeeper. What do you guys do with the unreplaced divots?
Yeah. We need to be more like Pawn Stars, where we have a guy for everything. Like, yeah, we have a guy to call, you know?
Well, we got a lawyer now.
Yeah, we do. We have like 1,000 Greenskeepers in the DMs.
Yeah, we'll have this figured out.
Reach out, guys.
Getz did it. He was a Greenskeeper for Fargo Parks.
What's the answer?
I can ask him.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Fargo Parks.
They probably just mow them all over.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, I won't expand on that.
Ryan, what's a no-no for you on the golf course?
Okay, a big no-no for me on the golf course is when a group of golfers only plays one ball at a time. So what I mean by that is like, you know, you got two guys in a cart and like, what? I understand if your shots are on completely different sides of the course or the hole that you're playing. But when the cart goes to one ball, they play that one, that guy watches, and then a cart goes to a different ball that is very well could just be walked to by the other person. I'm not a pace of play Nazi, but when it comes to just like, if you're just going to one ball at a time, it really does slow things up.
Yeah.
And it is very like, it's treatable.
Every episode you stray further and further from your no walking take.
Well, that's what I was going to get to is that's like one benefit of walking with a push cart is everyone can go to their own ball, you know, farthest away from the pin plays first. And then like you can start to do your prep and your 10 practice swings, which is also a huge no-no in my book. And, you know, get ready for your shot. So that, you know, I'm backpedaling on the whole walking thing.
Yeah, I know. Every episode.
A little bit older I get. But that's a huge benefit to walking is that pace play speeds up. And you don't have to go to one singular ball at a time. Because imagine like if you drive a cart over and you don't know whether your ball is like in the shit or not. And you're looking for the ball. Okay, well, there's a couple minutes. Then you got to hit the shot. And then you got to go back to your... It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you on that. Even just like not playing ready golf at public courses is just like a big no-no.
The order of play, I think, is such bullshit. The only place I think it truly matters, like having to furthest guy out, hits first, matters is the green. I hate that. It's like if you're at your ball, hit the fucking thing.
No, yeah. I agree. And on the biggest stage, the PGA Tour, these guys obviously like, they have the routine down.
They have to do that. It's very television, seamless. Though.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah.
A camera guy can't just run up 20 yards to a guy who outdrove the other.
Right.
They film him and then run back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the cameras on stands need to know who's hitting next. They can't just guess.
Yep. Correct.
Like, I just think it's in regular guy golf, if you're not playing ready golf, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. It's a great question.
Especially like, for most of us, our biggest complaint is the amount of crammed tee times and how many people are on the course and all that stuff. And the biggest remedy for that you can control is your pace of play and right. playing ready mm-hmm. golf and all that stuff.
And it's like, I understand there's some sort of advantage, right, of letting the guy that's further out than you hit first. Ryan is not going to get any insightful information from me.
God, no.
If I hit my drive that was 20 yards shorter than his, we're hitting different clubs.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spray it somewhere. He's not going to learn shit from my drive. So if Ryan's ready, just hit the ball. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Plus, mm-hmm. it's also against the rules if you are in a competitive scene to figure out which club your opponent is using on their shot and then take that knowledge and apply it to your shot.
Yeah.
That's against the rules. Like, if you're like, oh shit, Ryan hit a 7 there. Okay, I'm going to hit a 6. Like,
also, I think that rule is trash too.
Yeah, but
if I really wanted to, I could just go over there and look.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's like everyone's got different distances on their club too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And okay, yes, like if you, Jake, if I had a 7 iron, odds are you might hit a 6 iron. So that does give you some information if you know how far I hit the ball. But it doesn't give you, like, you still have to execute a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm saying that rule is just as absurd as the hitting the farthest guy out hit.
Well, like, honestly, on our second shots, unless I hit the green, what valuable information are you going to get from me going first?
Nothing, really.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. I don't get it. I don't get the whole order of play thing. Like, we do play one game, bingo, bango, bongo, that the order matters because it's first on, first in, closest to.
Yeah.
And that all matters based off of who's hitting first, right? That's the only instance I can think of in regular guy golf where the order matters.
I also don't really give a shit about order on the tee box.
Me either.
Like, it's like, oh, best score on the last hole has honors on the tee box. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like, if you get to the hole before I do, just get your driver and hit it.
Yep. The only time that ever matters, I think, in my opinion, is getting a gauge on the wind off the tee with the big stick. Like, let's see how much the wind affects Ryan here.
Yeah.
And that might affect me on where I aim. It's not going to change what club I put in my hand 9 times out of 10.
Mm. I was like straight into the wind to get a kind of like distance too.
Yeah, you maybe want to get under it. But I mean, that's the... There's a little bit of info you can glean, I think, from the tee, but from the fairway, man, or more often than not, the rough. I don't think it matters for shit.
No. Okay, here's a question for you guys. I have no problem sharing what club I hit with people.
Mm-hmm.
So if a guy hits, I say, hey, what club do you hit there? They're like, oh, I hit a 7. And let's say I want to hit an 8. So I go back to the cart. I get my 8 iron because I now have that information. I hit a hole in one. Technically, it's illegal to ask what club someone else is hitting. Does the hole in one count?
Absolutely.
Yes.
110%.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it does, but like actually rules wise, does I mean,
you would get a penalty stroke in competitive golf, yeah. So no, it wouldn't count in real golf. Okay,
so competitive golf, yeah. Yeah.
But that's a load of shit. Yeah. So it counts.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, I can see that you're hitting a 3-wood.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't need to ask if you're hitting a 3. It comes down to, is that why the number? No, it's not why the number is on the bottom of the iron.
I don't think there's
it from the top.
Yeah, there's no order of secrecy. I don't think
I should just put like random numbers on like the backside of my club. So if I don't want to tell someone, they can just I can really fuck with their head.
Ryan, it's 140 yards to the green. Why the fuck did you just hit a 5-iron?
Yeah, that'd be kind of a...
I don't know. Prank. He hit a 3.
Yeah, driving iron.
Yep.
Like you hit that Jesus. 38, you know, 100 feet in the air.
Just a punch, though. That's what you say with everything. I just punched it.
I knocked it down.
Yeah.
Knocked down 9-iron.
One other golf no-no that's extremely obvious and might seem a little weird coming from me because I'm the anti-golf hardo. I hate golf etiquette, but one thing I'm...
You can't say you hate golf etiquette.
You're right. I hate most golf rules.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an unwritten rule that I 100% agree with. Don't talk in my backswing. Like, I know I'm a let everything else happen type of guy. Like, order doesn't matter to me. Walking in my line doesn't matter to me. Don't fucking talk in my backswing, dudes.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
What if someone...
It's so controllable. It's like, for 1 second of your entire life, shut up. Like, there's no reason for you to talk. I won't talk in yours. Just don't talk in mine.
Now, is it unexpected talk in your backswing? Or like, what if someone is already talking... Before, like as you're taking a practice swing?
I'll just stare at them until they shut up.
Okay.
Really?
Okay. Yep.
Wow.
It's not that hard. Just be quiet for one single second.
So who does this for you?
I have a buddy that he's doing exactly what Ryan just described. He's in a conversation and he won't stop the conversation for just 1 second.
I will. Like if someone like, let's say someone asks me a question while someone's like about to hit, I just won't answer.
Yeah.
Until they're done hitting.
I do the one finger. Like if you're asking me a question while Trevor's trying to hit his ball. So yeah. So I'll answer your question now that Trevor hit his ball.
Yeah.
Interesting. Who's the buddy? Out him right now.
No.
No, do it.
There's a handful of them actually. You've done it before. Connor does it. Lane does it.
You just threw me in the mix just because.
So you'll do it, but you like try to hide it. You're like, but it's like, I can hear you.
I don't talk through your swing, though.
Sometimes.
Okay, name a time.
Most of the time, it's to the camera. You're like trying to talk to Jake and do like a bit.
We're shooting a video. You gotta talk.
I'm trying to hit my ball.
You don't care about your shot that much.
Yeah, sometimes
not during
I do.
A video. We fucking skip holes during videos.
Yeah, but if I'm trying to hit a shot as part of a video to like demonstrate the rules of a game, I care about the shot.
How about on the simulator? You feel the same?
No, weird. It's a complete opposite. I don't give a fuck who's talking in the simulator.
Wow.
I think that's mostly because we got the sounds of the warehouse. Yeah. We got music playing. Like you can't hear the music when you're on the tee box for the most part. It's back by your cart, you know?
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
I mean, I'm 85% on board with you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you start a conversation going and I hear it when I'm like doing my practice swings, I don't care if you're talking.
Practice swings are fine. But no, I'm on the ball and you're still talking.
If it's a continued conversation, it's whatever. Like I already hear, I know you're talking. Like,
same, Trevor.
But if you are silent and as soon as I take it back, you say something, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Same, Trevor.
If I accidentally talk in someone's backswing, I will give them a mulligan every single time.
Same.
I feel terrible when I do it. And every time I've done it, it's been on accident. Like someone taps me on the shoulder, I'm like, what's up? And then just fucking someone shanks a ball off to the left.
What if someone's driving on the road and they honk during your backswing?
I will tee up at their car.
Really?
I won't do that. But no, I would ask you. I would give any one of you a mulligan if someone did that to you.
I wouldn't even ask.
I expect it in return.
That happened in the Pine to Palm. I don't know if it was
someone honked at you?
No, not at me. It was like, I can't remember if it was the guy I was playing or the other two in our group that we're playing against.
Jesus.
But you know, like the road that runs past hole number two.
Mm-hmm.
Someone laid on the horn right during the backswing.
It also happened to you too, Ryan, where all of a sudden you were trying to like set up your backswing and then some birds started just chirping off right above you there. Like,
oh yeah.
Go, go, go. Like right in the middle of your backswing. Yeah. Like,
how am I supposed to hit with this going on?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you said. Yeah. I think you just quoted yourself.
Oh god.
I mean, I'm with you, Tyler. Yeah. 85%. A little leeway here and there, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's easily controllable.
Yeah, I just hate it. That's the main reason.
Yeah.
Because you 100% control your own talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely avoidable.
You've done that before.
Yeah, and then I'll give you a mulligan every time. And I've never start a conversation and then talk through someone's backswing. It's always been an accident situation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. One of my no-nos is not helping look for balls. Like off tee box, if you're sitting there on your phone, going back to the cart.
That's annoying.
It's so terrible. Because like you're looking down, you hit, and then you got, okay, look up, try to find a ball. Like, dude, just help a brother out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're still talking more about watching where the ball goes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like.
Well, both. Even if
it ball like, lost and yep. coming to help you look for it.
Yeah, because I think if someone like is questionable again whether the ball's in the shit or or not, if the other person is just like over in the fairway, just waiting to hit, just come over and help me look for my ball.
So there's, I think, some exceptions to the helping search for a ball rule. Like if I see my ball and it's really far away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go hit my ball. And then if you still haven't found yours, then I'll come back and check.
Yeah, makes sense. But keep the pace of play going.
Yeah. Yep. If my ball is where I can see it and I can hit it and it's nowhere near where your ball went into the woods, I'm going to hit mine first.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree with that as well.
Okay.
Because that also that like feeds into like going from ball to ball to ball as a group to wait until someone else hits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like if your ball is clearly like it's there, you can hit your shot to the green, do it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then come back and help look.
Yeah. But you're totally right on the watching the ball.
Yeah.
Like I think this one is also, less.
Are you backpedaling on this one? Because no. I think I've said this before and there was a ton of like fucking backlash of like, I get pissed when people don't help me watch my ball off the tee and you guys are like,
no. No, you got pissed at your wife. You were pissed at your
okay,
wife.
Okay, well, she's a playing partner at that point.
Yeah, but that's a different one.
Yeah, I know.
How is that any different?
It pisses me off when people don't watch where the ball's going.
We might have to watch the film back.
I don't know if any of us would disagree with this, Ryan.
The only thing that I was about to say is this one is less controllable, I think, than mm-hmm. the talking in the backswing. Like, you could just miss the ball, you know? It's easier to miss where the ball is going. Like, a bird chirps, you look away. Ah, fuck, you hit a shot. I think it's less controllable. But if you're intentionally just, like, on your phone scrolling, then I get upset with you.
Yeah.
Especially if it's into the sun. Oh my God.
Or into the clouds. You're like,
anybody? Anybody? All right. Well, I guess we're just going to have to guess.
But yeah, you're right. The blatant disregard of like being on your phone or still in the golf cart or whatever
or is pouting about your shot or something.
Oh,
yeah.
My golf partner does this quite a good amount and he fucking just,
does what?
Out him.
He just doesn't. It's all right. I'll fucking out him. It's fucking Alan. He does this all the time. Alan loves just sitting on his phone.
Yeah, he's in La La Land.
He is in La La Land on the golf course, but he loves sitting on his phone. And I mean, I get it. He's on, you know, whatever, talking his two businesses. He runs a business. So he's got people to ask him a fucking gazillion questions all the time. I understand that. That sucks. But yeah, it's just like, give me 2 seconds. Watch the ball land.
Yeah. Yeah. My partner Adam. I mean, I've the amount of things I wish he would do differently. I mean, he's taking phone calls. He's fucking on Facebook. It's like, dude, this is time for you and I to like hang out, right?
Yeah.
Get out, like, just put your phone in the cup. Get your yardage. Well, and he has like a hand, like a little like one of those little square handheld.
Oh, those
GPSs,
little Garmin thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like magnetized to the cart. So it's like you don't need your phone for anything at that point. Because unless you're on 18 birdies, and I get it if you're looking up your yardage on 18 birdies. But yeah, that shit fucking pisses me off too.
Do we need golf partner therapy?
We should do golf partner therapy. What would be the biggest things in golf partner therapy?
Like number one, staying off your phone.
Yeah. Number two, he drinks too much.
I think that's fine.
He never makes time. He golfed with someone else.
Yeah. doesn't settle bets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the list goes on. Maybe that's a good segment for next week.
Yeah, couples golf therapy.
Dude, this is what I hate that you do. This is what I like that you do. Change them.
There's no trust in our relationship. Every time he hits it in the shit, he somehow finds his ball magically.
Jade?
Yep.
We're just going to out everybody.
Yeah.
Another no-no for me on the golf course is spitting sunflower seeds onto the green.
Yeah, big one. Yep.
I don't really play with a lot of guys that chew sunflower seeds, but at times there will be.
And I don't ever play with them either, but I see the seeds on the green.
Yeah.
Like from other groups.
See, I'm a big sunflower seeds guy. I always have a bag or two on my desk, even while I'm working, like during work.
Yeah.
And like I'll get like a full squirrel cheek full of spent shells while I'm on the green and then spit them elsewhere just because like I refuse to spit them on the green.
What's the what's the appropriate distance away from the green where it's still?
Shit, I would say anything at honestly 50 yards.
Really?
Jeez.
I mean,
you know what I'm thinking?
Well, no, anywhere where you can't putt. You know,
yeah, like where, say like 30 feet off is where I kind of
like cart path rules where it's like 30 feet away from the green.
Yeah. Let's just make that the rule anywhere for the cart path, the carts, whatever. What's the cart sign? It says keep carts on path, whatever feet from green, the sign right behind your head.
Yeah. It says 30. Yep. Right
let's
there.
Make that. Let's make that the rule. 30 feet and out from the green, you can spit your seeds. Anything inside that will kill
Swallow
you.
Them.
We'll kill you. You will die.
Yep.
Yeah. That's my always kind of rule of thumb is I just like any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess like whatever leaves could affect a putt and seeds definitely would affect a putt. I'm not so much worried about that. It's just like the maintenance of things. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they blow around too. Like, I mean, I'm sure you've been to a baseball field or something like that where dried seeds blow everywhere with the wind hits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like that happens. So, yeah.
I'm going to rattle off some obvious ones. The don't hit into other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be silent. If you do hit into another group on accident, yell four.
Like, it's okay to yell four. I don't.
Yes.
People are like nervous, but if you give someone like a forward warning that a ball is coming.
Is that
coming,
where they get that from?
No.
Are they forewarning you?
We looked this up, didn't we?
Hold on. I don't think we've ever looked this up. Yeah.
No,
we could be coming to this epiphany for the second time. You could be absolutely right.
We definitely looked it up, and that doesn't sound correct, but it checks out.
But it is F-O-R-E, like forewarn.
Guys, guys, four could be derived from an artillery term warning gunners to stand clear.
So you're giving them a...
Firstly, that the term wear before or beware. But what?
Yeah, we didn't look this up. I don't remember this.
Yeah, I don't remember this whatsoever. Many believe the term four has Scottish origins, but it was originated, used to mean before or ahead. When the golfers wanted to alert others about an incoming ball, they would shout four to let them know to watch out. There is a military influence. Some theories suggest that the term four may have been borrowed from military usage in drills. Commands like fire and fall were used to signal actions. It's possible that four was adopted as a golf warning due to its similarity between the commands and its effectiveness in quickly conveying the message. And the third option is that it's short for before you. Four is shortened from the phrase before you. When a golfer yells four, they're essentially saying, watch out, the ball is coming before you. Which,
it's a forewarning.
Yeah, I think that's way better explanation than all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, fucking yell four. No one's going to be mad at you.
Yeah, no judgment.
My last one is, Mick, you got to get the guy back who bought you drinks or bought you the round.
Yep.
Next round is on you. Yep. Like the round of golf.
Don't be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a big no-no to not at least attempt to get your friend back.
Yeah.
There'll be times where they don't want you to get him back. It's a gift. Whatever. You got to try at least.
Yeah. Offer.
It's principle.
Say, hey, well, how much was that round of golf? I'll shoot you a Venmo or whatever.
No, no, don't worry about it. You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Yep. Then you're good. That's all you got to do.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's pretty much all I got as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got a quick one. You can call me crazy for this, but
you're crazy for this.
It's an unspoken rule that whoever starts the round by driving the cart should also be the one who ends the round driving the cart. I think switching in between is kind of weird.
I've never seen anyone. Have you seen someone do that?
No, but like I've noticed, Tyler, like a couple times you and I will be out golfing, for example, right? And then you go and take your cart to go get your ball or something like that, right? Like you'll just be like, hey, Jake, I'll just drop you off and then I'll take the cart and go, whatever. Every single time, you just immediately switch back to driving and whatever.
What do you mean? If I'm dropping you off, I gotta drive the cart. It's not gonna drive itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But then immediately after your shot is done, we'll switch right back and I'll go back to driving.
Yeah, if you're the one driving, you gotta stay driving.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Switching in the middle of a round is absolute weirdo behavior. One time my brother tried to convince me that he wanted to drive halfway through the round. I'm like, dude.
Well, then you have to switch your bags on the back.
I know. That's what
so you don't have to walk all the way around the cart.
That is bananas.
Banana sandwich.
Don't do that.
No, guys. You're right. That's a no-no.
It's not against any rules or anything like that. No, it's just fucking weird.
It is super weird. Trevor, you ever done that?
No. I'm usually I'm a rider, depending on the friend, I guess.
Well, if I'm driving, if the driver gets dropped off at their ball and I have to drive over to mine, I'm just going to stay in the passenger seat.
Reach over.
Push my left leg over onto the pedal and my left arm over on the wheel and I'll drive that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
God forbid you actually sat in their driver's seat.
I ain't scooting over.
No. Yeah. That half of the cart is not personalized to me. Like all my stuff's over on the right.
Have you ever noticed there's like a weird etiquette on how we decide who's going to drive the cart? Like, I prefer being the rider, but there's a lot of times where, like, I'll go into it. If I'm driving with Trevor, I don't know. I'm going to drive.
That's fair. Yeah, I have friends where I have to drive, or, like, there's someone that I trust, like, I can just ride and just do nothing.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and it's never, like, a debate. It's always just, like, I know who's going to drive. Like, you're going to drive if it's you and me.
Yep.
I'm going to drive if it's me and Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I'm driving if it's Jake. Like, it's the weirdest shit. Like, there's never a debate.
Is it an age thing?
I don't know.
Well, most of the time for you and I, it's because we're filming.
Yep.
And so there's no need for me to drive and try and film shit at the same time. So that's probably where that started. Ryan, if you and I are together, you're probably driving. That's probably where that comes from.
I'm driving with anybody.
Yeah.
It might be age, because if I'm with grandpa, he's driving.
That's not, I don't know. But if I golf with my dad, which we golf often, I drive.
And then it's never a debate, though. Have you ever got up like, who wants to drive? You always just know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like just the first person to the cart puts their bag on the driver.
But it's the same every time.
I've picked up carts for you and me, and you're driving.
Interesting. How do you determine who's going to drive before a round of golf?
I think you just know.
It is. It's like a sixth sense.
It's like it's like a telepathic.
That's great, guys, because this is a podcast.
Yeah. We don't have the answers for you guys on this. We need a golf psychologist.
I think it's like, all I can think of is age.
Wouldn't you be uncomfortable if you and me were golfing and I drove?
For sure.
Yeah. This is fucked.
I don't know if it's age, because I let my younger buddies drive me and I'll drive my older buddies.
I drive when I'm with Connor. He's older than me.
I think it's a trust thing about, like, do you trust them driving you?
There are some bad golf cart drivers out there.
There are.
And people who, like, just take the weirdest routes from one shot to the next. Or people who, like, if there's a cart path next to the green and let's say you're driving directly towards the green, the pin is in the back left, and there's a path that goes all the way around the backside of the green. There are people that will just park at like the beginning of the cart path instead of going all the way around, which is the closest walk.
Yeah. They don't,
the pin.
They don't prep for the drive to the next hole.
Yep.
Correct.
They're wrong. Always prep for the next hole. Mm-hmm. Shortest walk to the cart from the pin is where you park.
Yes.
You don't park the closest walk to the pin. You do the closest walk from the pin.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the same, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but let me rephrase that. You don't park the closest walk to your ball.
To the green.
Yes, to your ball or wherever it is. You don't park there. You park what's going to be the shortest walk after your ball's in the hole.
And if the next hole is like right there, the next tee box is right there, then you just pull up to the tee box, even if it is a farther walk.
Yeah.
Instead of getting back to the cart after the putts are made and then driving 15 feet, just drive the 15 feet and then walk to the pin.
Yeah. Cart etiquette.
Interesting. Weird, yeah. Hey, I've never thought about that. All right. Let's wrap it up, boys. 3 and 4 next week. Jake, watch 1 through 4.
Yep.
And then watch the rest of the season. Caught up. Phenomenal.
Ryan, you erase episodes 4 through 8 from your mind.
5 through 8.
5 through 8. Yep. I'll rewatch 3 and 4. I'll, yep. I'll have it down for next week. So, guys, thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for this week. Weather's getting beautiful. We're going to be getting out soon.
Mm-hmm. 65 degrees yesterday.
Yep.
See y'all next week.
Love you.
Love you.
Hey, pipe that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.